everybody. Welcome back to Being Human is Weird. Today, Carrie and I have another episode, and we're going to be talking about intermittent fasting.
Such a buzz.
Such a buzz, isn't it? Buzz kill, am I right? We hear a lot about intermittent fasting as coaches and people who have access to the internet. So tell our audience what intermittent fasting is.
It is an eating pattern that cycles between periods of fasting, not eating, and eating. It's not a diet in that it's not a fad diet, I guess we should say, because anytime you're eating, that's your diet. But it doesn't necessarily focus directly on foods or food groups. We're not eliminating all of one group or focusing on only eating one group. So when you think about it in the most simple terms, it's more about when you eat and less about what you eat. I think the most common, the most widely practiced methods are 12-12, which means 12 hours of eating and 12 hours of fasting. And keep in mind that at least 8 of those, hopefully, are you sleeping. 16-8, that again is usually 16 hours of fasting and you're squeezing in all of your meals into 8 hours of your day. And then there are other ways of doing it where it's 24 hours once or twice a week. Some people fast with 2 low calorie days per week, like less than 1,000 calorie days. And then the other 5 days of the week, they're eating like normal, not on any kind of time frame. There is a lot of different ways to approach intermittent fasting. There's also a lot of debate around this subject. Mm-hmm. So why, Abby, why are people intermittent right? fasting?
Intermittent fasting isn't new. It's something that's been practiced for a very, very, very long time. Our ancient ancestors didn't have things like farmers markets, Walmart, Trader Joe's. Sometimes they couldn't find anything to eat and likely didn't get 3 square meals with 2 snacks every day. So our bodies have evolved to be able to function without food for periods of time. Some people choose to do it because they like to have rules and structure surrounding their diet or nutrition schedule. Only eating from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. gives that structure and sometimes takes the guesswork out of things. It feels less stressful for them. I've done intermittent fasting and kind of messed with it in a purposeful way, and I went straight into panic mode. I was worried about what am I going to eat? When am I going to eat? I'm going to be starving. And I'd make myself think I was starving at 7 o'clock in the morning when I don't normally eat before 10 anyway. So It just depends. It depends how you are and the why behind it. It's different for everybody. And fasting is also done for religious and spiritual reasons as well. People like Dr. Mark Hyman, we've talked about him in the past, swear by it for its effects on things that are in our body, like cellular repair or our genes and their jobs within our bodies, protecting against disease, dropping insulin, improving insulin sensitivity, messing with human growth hormone in a beneficial way. Some people swear by it for anti-aging. The only studies that I've ever seen with anti-aging as a benefit of intermittent fasting have been done in rats. Mm-hmm. So just know that if you are toying with the idea of it, studies in humans are pretty limited. The main thing that we see it for as coaches, though, is weight loss. People like to utilize it for weight loss.
Yeah, Abby, I totally hear you with the panic mode. Some people really start to hyperfixate on food and thoughts of food. And it's just because for some people, when they put a rule in place, then they can only think about what they quote unquote can't or shouldn't do. So keep that in mind. If you know that about yourself, maybe this isn't the route for you. And, you know, from my opinion, maybe this isn't the route for you for a variety of reasons. But getting back into our weight loss, like Abby said, as coaches, people come to us wanting to lose weight, and intermittent fasting is all over the place saying it'll help them. And yeah, I think if you are cutting out one or two meals, then you will be
That
losing out
makes
on
sense.
500, 1,000 calories, whatever that is. Yeah. So, of course, weight loss is going to follow. However, you also have to think that if you're cutting out your breakfast and then you're like, well, I cut out breakfast, so that means I have all of these extra calories that I didn't consume. It can lead to binging or eating large amounts during that window because you feel like you're otherwise depriving yourself of that food. So again, it's kind of a mental game, but it's also a physical game. When you go into a meal feeling absolutely ravenous, chances are you're going to overeat and eat too quickly. Again, some people love the ease of it, only planning one or two meals per day. And maybe a snack versus having to think about breakfast, lunch, dinner, plus one or two snacks. So weigh all of these options. You know yourself best. Maybe experiment with it. Maybe just let it be an internet fad and let it go.
Yeah, I'm on the fence about it. Not that anybody asked, but like you're saying, it's totally up to people and what they do with it. It's a very simple idea. If you want to stay in a fasted state, kind of the hard and fast rule is just keeping at 30 calories or less during your fasting window. So if you're doing the 16-8, you're sleeping 8 hours, you're awake 8 hours of it. During the 8 hours that you're awake, keeping your intake or your caloric intake at or below 30 calories. Herbal tea or any tea that's 0 calories. Water, black coffee. Do not add sugar. You can add a little bit of cream, but again, maybe like a tablespoon or less. And otherwise, you can pretty much do whatever you want. Just don't consume anything. In your opinion, should people intermittent fast? Why or why
Oof.
not?
I hate the shoulds.
Yeah.
Again, know yourself, know your body. If you are coming to intermittent fasting specifically for weight loss, not for any other of the metabolic factors or cell regeneration that Abby mentioned earlier, it has a boomerang effect, like many of the fad diets do, where people, at least in my experience, tend to lose a lot of weight quickly and then it plateaus. And if they reintroduce whatever meal they've cut out, they gain that weight plus more, maybe back. So, again, if it works for your lifestyle, if it makes you feel good, great. If you're only doing it for weight loss, I think there are more sustainable and consistent ways of introducing lifestyle change. What do you think, Abby? I know you said you're on the fence, but.
I'm with you. I think it can be a very beneficial tool for a number of reasons. I'm in agreement with everything that you said, and also there's so much conflicting evidence between men and women. So intermittent fasting may not be as beneficial for women as it is for men because we're on a three-phase cycle each month.
What we mean is people who menstruate, not necessarily gender identity, but biologically is what we're talking about because biological females do have different cycles than biological males. Sorry, go
No,
ahead.
thank you for that. I was reading a study from 2005, so I'm sure several have been done since then, but it showed that intermittent fasting improved insulin sensitivity in men, but worsened blood sugar control in women. And most of the studies that are done that have anything to do with anything are done on rats or on men. So we don't even understand, for the most part, a lot of different things and how they affect women. But some women that intermittent fast report a loss of their period, which, while it sounds freaking amazing, it is not a good thing by any stretch. But then there are some studies showing that women who are overweight experience benefits. It helps with certain hormone levels. It can improve some of their metabolic markers. It helped with PCOS symptoms. So I'm in agreement and disagreement with it because individuals who menstruate need to be more careful if they do decide to implement it. A 12-12 is probably going to be safe for anybody. But as always, it's best to check with a doctor, ease into it. If you feel like shit or you're losing your period, then I would recommend stopping immediately. But otherwise, if you can handle the mental stress and that's not a thing for you, you have a otherwise very healthy relationship with food, I don't think that it's necessarily a bad idea.
Yeah, agreed. If it works for you, it works for you. And it's so funny thinking about 12-12. I naturally eat probably in less than 12 hours, a 12-hour window anyway, but that's just there's not thinking around it. I think I probably eat within 10 to 11 hours each day. What about you?
It depends. And it's so funny because I went through this phase where I was thinking, okay, for my hormones, I need to eat as soon as I wake up. And I didn't notice any difference after 3 months of doing that. So I just kind of went back to I'll eat breakfast when I'm hungry. And I'm usually a 12 hour, 11, 12 hour in between. I'll have a cup of coffee. I drink water, have some coffee, caffeine free, and then I'll eat my first meal around 9 or 10.
Yep. And some people just are not hungry in the morning. I've heard from a lot of people, they feel nauseous if they try to eat in the morning. So, again, if that's what your body's telling you, okay, then let's not worry about it.
As with everything, it's very individualized. I think about my parents. They fast unknowingly. They eat dinner probably around 6, and then they don't eat again until like 11 or 12. And it's not because they're doing it with a purpose. They just aren't hungry. So there's no label to it. It's just, yeah, some people just are fasters. Anyway, if you are underweight or you're someone who has struggled with an eating disorder or currently struggles with an eating disorder, things like intermittent fasting can be extremely harmful. So we'd probably encourage you against it, or at the very least, to talk to a doctor or a dietitian before starting. Carrie, let's get into a little FAQ section here. Isn't skipping breakfast bad? We hear so much about you have to eat breakfast. It's the most important meal of the day.
Do you know who created the phrase breakfast is the most important meal of the day?
No.
The cereal companies. Because
Of course.
everything in our country is bought by some lobbyist. If you wake up and you are hungry, starting your day with a balanced breakfast to give yourself that energy, to reduce that cortisol that's naturally spiking in the morning. Yes, absolutely. But if you, like we mentioned earlier, are somebody who wakes up and the thought of food makes you nauseous, you just have no desire to eat, you feel good with water, preferably water before coffee, and preferably food before coffee because coffee is acidic. So keep that in mind. So if you just go straight to coffee, you're probably doing some GI damage,
I
truthfully
burn so
speaking.
bad and I do it every day.
But it really depends. Is breakfast the most important meal of the day? Negligible. For some people, yes, it is. For others, not at all. So again, very individual. What are some of the common side effects of intermittent fasting, Abby?
The only one I experienced and have heard from others that they've experienced outside of extreme cases is hunger, which makes sense. Duh, but anyway.
The only thing I would add is the mental load that we've mentioned a
Yes,
little bit.
good call out.
Hyperfixating on food or the next time you're going to eat or letting it turn into binging episodes. That's a huge mental component. I understand that it's dietary as well, but it's coming from a place of feeling that you are depriving yourself. That's the other, I guess, side effect that I would mention.
That's a great call out, and I don't know why I didn't say it because I did experience it. It was very much like that for me. Something that was interesting to me were how many people thought that fasting would either speed up or slow down metabolism. We're still so stuck on how do I speed up my metabolism? Carrie, will fasting slow down your metabolism?
From the scientific research, no, not unless you are not eating at all for multiple days in a row. That being said, there is also some research that, again, in people who menstruate, not having adequate fuel calories throughout the day, can have a metabolic effect, but I don't want to get too specific here. If you are somebody who menstruates, be paying a little bit more attention to how your body is feeling. If your blood sugar is spiking and dropping, any of that, but overall, fasting is not going to slow down or damage your metabolism in the long term.
And how about muscle mass? So for individuals who are in the weight room or they're trying to build or preserve muscle mass, will they lose it? Is it true that your body will essentially, this is a new one for me, but your body will start eating itself if you don't eat fuel for 12 hours at a time?
I would say no for 12 hours at a time. Again, once we get into several days or weeks, yeah, of course, your body is going to enter starvation mode at that point. But no, if you're just eating in a shorter window in your day and making sure, like we talked about, if you haven't checked it out, but our quick bite episode on protein, making sure you're getting adequate amounts of protein, doing the physical exercise that maintains muscle or even promotes more muscle. So, lifting weights or resistance training, body weight training, that kind of stuff. No, you're not going to lose muscle from just reducing your eating window. I don't think. What do you think, Abby?
I agree with you, and I got that question the other day. So I did a little bit of research on it, and you nailed it. As long as you're getting enough calories and adequate protein throughout the day, you don't have anything to worry about. Of course, if you're working out while fasting, you can do this, but if you're feeling really tired or feeling really hungry, lightheaded, you feel like dog shit when you go to the gym, then you should probably put some fuel in your body before you start trying to PR a deadlift. So it's about being smart. It's not something that you have to do every single day either, the fasting. It's pretty flexible. I think people just like to make it a lot more complicated than it is.
They like the idea of structure and rigidity, and they hate living that way. But they think if they can figure it out and be that rigid and quote unquote self-disciplined, no, you guys, some days you probably will have super active days. Like if you're going on a 10-mile hike, please don't not eat. But if you're going to sleep in and you're just putzing around the house a little bit, sure, if you don't eat until 11 or noon, that's probably fine for your body that day.
And the last question I have, and this was one that I got on a call, is my child is overweight. Should they fast?
No. No.
Please. Give them, fruits, veggies, whole grains, make sure that there's nothing going on otherwise. But it is not a good idea for someone who is growing and developing to intermittent fast. Not only will it harm them physically, but mentally and emotionally, their relationship
Yeah.
to food is going to completely be demolished.
And this is a bit of a side note, but important as well. Children are intelligent and they are such strong observers. So if you are talking about intermittent fasting for weight loss or to change the way your body looks, just keep in mind that that is your role modeling for the children behind you. And I see this more with little girls, but it does not have to be gender specific at all. If kids think, oh, mommy thinks she's fat at that weight, then I should probably think about dieting as well. So keep those messages in mind that you're sending to your kids.
So I think kind of as we wrap up, the easiest, if you are someone who is interested in implementing intermittent fasting, the easiest and probably most safe approach would be the 12 hours split, 12, 12, and then 16, 8 would be the second safest. If you Google it, that's probably where the internet's going to have you start. But you don't need to follow anything super structured. It can be flexible. Think about why you're doing it. And please know that this is just an episode with an example of a buzzwordy approach to eating that a lot of people are taking and talking about to improve their health. You don't have to do it. It's not going to be a cure-all. The only cure-all that we know of is eating real food, moving your body a little bit, and getting enough sleep.
And having some fun,
And have
too.
some fun, obviously. If you are with us and believing being human is weird, then like, subscribe, share, all of those things that the kids are doing. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at Being Human Is Weird. That's where we're going to be sharing resources, inspiration, and news about our podcast.
And we would love to hear from you, so slide right into our DMs with questions, comments, and what you'd like to hear more of. And thank you so much for listening, Weirdos.